Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Jesus knows best. We can never improve on what Jesus says. We can't find a better way of doing things than the way Jesus says. Yet, people in churches all over the world are constantly trying to do that. It's so easy to replace the revelation of the Spirit with soulish endeavor. We know that the purpose of our lives, God's purpose for our lives, is to bear much fruit, so that He is glorified and we fulfill His purpose. So listen to what Jesus says about bearing fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. So why do we encourage people to be fruitful? Why do we try to motivate people to be fruitful? When Jesus says, well, if you abide in the vine, you will be fruitful. You don't make people evangelists by encouraging them to evangelize. You see, what happened with Isaiah? He met with God in his holiness, and he heard God say, who will go for us? Who can we send? And his immediate response is, here am I, send me. Abiding in Jesus produces the fruit. Meeting with God gives us the motivation to go in His name to fulfill His purposes. Yet so often people are trying to be fruitful without the abiding. They're sending people without the encounter. So it doesn't really work. It's only marginally fruitful and marginally successful. We will only see what God is promising when we do things His way. So we're believing in multiplication, and we would like an anointing for multiplication. The only trouble is that the Word of God doesn't say multiplication will come like that. Multiplication will only come as you give. When you give, God multiplies what you give. So if we want to see more multiplication, that means there has to be more giving. Not just giving of finances, obviously, but giving of ourselves. And then the multiplication will happen. We want the world to believe, so we devise all kinds of evangelistic events and activities to try to impact the world. But Jesus says, if you are one, then the world will believe. He prayed, Father, may there be one, so that the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, all these things are very clear in the Word of God. But you see, we can't short-circuit God's purposes. We can't produce the fruit ourselves. We are branches in the vine, and Jesus says no branch can bear fruit by itself, by its own activity. The fruit can only be produced by abiding in the vine. Now, I was talking to some of you in lecture last week about how to abide continuously in the vine. Because this is what Jesus is telling us to do. To live continually, moment by moment, in the vine. That's what it means to abide, to live continuously in. So Jesus is saying, if you live continuously in me, you will bear much fruit. You won't even have to worry about the fruitfulness. The fruitfulness will come out of the fact that you abide continually in me. Now, we know we're in him, but knowing that we're in him is not abiding in him. This word that is used in the Greek that's translated abide, it has this sense of resting. Not just of remaining or staying, but of resting. It's like when you're brought into a certain place, you can be comfortable that you're there. You can rest because you're there. You can remain there, but you're resting there. And so it's quite difficult to find just one word in English to convey the meaning of the Greek word, because it means remain, stay, abide, rest. All those would be valid translations of the word. So what Jesus is saying is your fruitfulness is not going to come by any soulish endeavor or trying to encourage one another to go and do this, that, or the other. The fruitfulness is going to come out of resting in me. Now, in Isaiah 27, God speaks prophetically about this vineyard. Verse 2, in that day, and today is the day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. Or literally, sing about a vineyard of red wine. Some of you have got the New King James, I think that's how it translates that. I like the translation, vineyard of red wine. But the point is, it's a fruitful vineyard. Sing about a fruitful vineyard. That's a command. I, the Lord, watch over it. And again, this has the sense of God continuously watching over this vine or this vineyard from moment to moment. Then he says, I water it continually. Now, what does Jesus say about the true vine? The Father is the vine dresser. He is the one that cares for it. He is the one that will make it fruitful. Hello? The branches can't make themselves fruitful, and you can't make any other branch fruitful. I want you all to be fruitful, but I can't make you fruitful. All I can do is to tell you what Jesus says, is that you will be fruitful if you abide in the vine. Not if you go and do this, that, or the other, but if you abide in the vine, then you will be fruitful. Hello? Yeah. So, the Lord watches over this vine, this vineyard. He waters it continually. Then he says, I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. Now, Jesus says the fruitless branches are cut out. You sometimes wonder why, well, you know, why has someone sort of been part of the vine in this place and then they're no longer part of the vine? Because something has happened in their spirit, in their heart, that will stop them from being fruitful. So God moves them out. If those who are not with you are against you, God doesn't want people to be against his purpose in the vine. So they move out. Why? Because he is watching over this vine continually, moment by moment. He's watering it every day. He's guarding it by day and by night. So, in other words, the Father is doing everything necessary to make this vine or this vineyard fruitful. The branches can't do anything. Hello? The branches can't do anything to make themselves fruitful except abide or rest in the vine. You see, why do we encourage people to encounter the Lord? Because that's how they're going to become fruitful. We could give the church a course of evangelism. They would learn a lot about evangelism, but that wouldn't make them evangelistic. Are you there? You see, the motivation to be what God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do can only come from God himself. So Jesus knew the secret to fruitfulness was simply to remain in him. Right, now, I shared with some of you, I'll do it again so that all of us can benefit from this, that this is actually very, very simple. It's exceedingly simple. Because all of God's purposes are dependent upon us abiding, resting, remaining, staying, living continually in the vine, he has made it exceedingly simple for us to do this. He wouldn't make it complicated. Hello? So, all we have to do is to stay where God has put us. We didn't get into the vine by our own activity. The scripture is very clear that we were included in Christ when we heard the gospel, when we believed, and when we were filled with the Holy Spirit. The guarantee of our inheritance that is to come. At that point, we were incorporated into Christ. We became branches in the vine. God grafted us into Christ. Now, I'm not a great horticulturalist, but I believe that when you graft one branch onto a tree or whatever, what you have to do is to wound both. You have to scrape the bark away from the tree and also from the branch. You join the two together and you bind them until the graft is taken. You don't just put bark to bark, but you have to strip away the bark, then the graft will take. Something like that. Now, Jesus was wounded so that we could be grafted into him. He couldn't speak to the disciples about abiding in him until this moment at the Last Supper, just before his crucifixion, because he knew it wouldn't be possible for them to live in him, to be grafted into him until he was wounded, until he'd gone through the cross. So it's by that wounding that we have been grafted into him. So what he has to do is when a person is a new believer, they're just sort of bound. It's almost as if God does everything, you know, so easily for the believer when he first comes to the Lord. Then he has to learn how to be responsible as a disciple. And things are like that at the very beginning, because it's like the graft has been bound by God until it takes. You understand what I mean? Then once it's taken, then the branch can, by its own volition, by its own will and purpose, abide in the vine so that it becomes fruitful. So it took the wounding of Jesus to graft you into the vine. It's because of his wounds that that has taken place. The graft, by this time in your life, the graft has taken. You are a branch. And Jesus says, all you have to do to be fruitful is to just stay there. Live continuously there, in that place of unity with me. Okay, now, if we are branches that are grafted in like that, we can't hop in and out of the vine. It isn't that we're in the vine when we're having a good day, but we're out of the vine when we're having a not so good day. Or we're in the vine when we're righteous, but we get chucked out of the vine if we sin. No, because we're grafted into the vine, we live there. We continue to live or abide or rest or remain or stay there. And as we do that, so we will be fruitful. So, okay, God is watching over this vine moment by moment. How can we learn to live in the vine moment by moment? Well, we teach here how important it is to confess the word, to confess the truth over our lives. One of the things I learned to do in the very early years of my Christian life was to abide continually in the vine. I used this scripture every time I prayed. Still do. But not just when we pray. Now, I don't know how the first years have been getting on since Friday, whether you've been doing what I told you to do, but you see, you start the day when you get up in the morning by affirming, today I am a branch in the vine. When your feet touch the ground, today I am a branch in the vine. Now, Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, says that it's by God's act that we are in Christ Jesus. So you can affirm by his act, or through him, I am in Christ Jesus today. So that's the good way, that's the right way, that's the best way to start the day. It's got nothing to do with feelings. It's got nothing to do with sensing the presence of the Lord, especially when you've just woken up. Some of us can do that. Others, it takes a few hours before we feel anything, let alone the presence of the Lord. But right from that moment, we're operating by faith. And you see, that's a faith confession. Now, of course, having begun the day like that, you're going to continue the day like that. And I explained to you first years that the key word of faith is the little word now. And that what you do throughout the day at various points, you keep affirming, I am abiding in Christ, or I am living in Christ, or I am a branch in the vine, doesn't matter how you put it, now. And you learn to do this throughout the day. When you have a decision to make, you stop. It takes about 10 seconds. You'll need 20 seconds in all, but I'll tell you what the other 10 seconds are for later. It takes about 10 seconds to say, I am abiding in the vine now. I am in Christ Jesus now. And because the Father is watching over you as a branch of the vine, because he's watering you continuously, you can believe that God will cause you to make the right decision simply by abiding in him. Whatever it is that you are faced with doing, especially if there's some difficulty or something you find a problem, you pause for those 10 seconds and you say, I am abiding in the vine now. I am living in Christ Jesus now. Now, just stopping and doing that will improve the quality of what follows. Yes. Why? Because you're affirming, I can only get through or do what it is that is in front of me because I'm in the vine. I can only be fruitful in this situation. So, you know, you're in an evangelistic situation, a witnessing situation. You stop for 10 seconds first. I am in the vine now. I am abiding in Christ Jesus now. And so you learn to keep consciously abiding in him. Now, we can't do it every moment of the day because we have to focus and concentrate on other things. But you know what? You need to learn to do it regularly. Now, of course, this has all kinds of impacts on your life. It enables fruitfulness because you see you're stopping and saying, I can't do this, but because I'm abiding in the vine, God will cause me to be fruitful. Now, you don't have to stop and say all that every time because that's implicit in what you're saying. That's what you believe. That's why you're affirming it. Are you there? So, supposing you are confronted with temptation, instead of fighting the temptation, you stop for 10 seconds. I am abiding in the vine now. In brackets, there's no sin in the vine. There's no sin in Jesus. There's no sin in Christ Jesus. I am in Christ Jesus now. What happens? You've got motivation to resist the temptation. But you're not depending upon yourself and your own soulish means of resisting the temptation. You're affirming the truth that the Father is watching over me at this moment. He is watching over me moment by moment. He's watering this vine of which I'm a part continuously. He's guarding it day and night. He's guarding me now, to enable me to resist this temptation. You see, whenever we fail to resist temptation, we always regret it afterwards, don't we? You know, we say, oh, how could I have been such an idiot? But the great thing is that even when we sin, even when we fail the Lord, he doesn't cut us out of the vine. Because we've been bound to him, grafted into him, he works in us to bring us back to the place of righteousness, where we are consciously abiding in him and therefore doing what it is he wants us to do. Are we getting this?
Yeah.
So, it's going to have all kinds of positive effects on our lives just by keep affirming this. You will find that it's very difficult to do something that is inconsistent with your place in Christ if you keep affirming that you're in Christ. Are you there? Now, I also explained to some of you on Friday that this is a corporate activity because each one of us is just a branch of the vine and all the others around us are other branches of the same vine. So therefore, we can encourage one another and we can affirm this to one another. I don't know whether you've been doing this, but I suggested to you on Friday that it's much better rather than saying good morning or morning to one another, but to affirm the truth. I mean, one of the truths we used to affirm, especially in our community days, was it's another day of victory. But you see, we can affirm today, I am living in Christ Jesus, or use the word now because that helps so much. I am living in Christ Jesus now. Right, you greet someone else in the morning, say, you are living in Christ Jesus now, or today. Now that's much more encouraging than saying morning. You see, you're encouraging somebody with the truth. They may be half asleep still and not be all that thankful that you've just encouraged them with the truth. But if they have a negative reaction, that proves that they needed the truth. So, you see, in this way, we abide together in the vine. We're not just all individuals individually doing our individualistic thing. But we're encouraging one another. You see, when God created man, he said, go and be fruitful. The only trouble is that sin prevented the kind of fruitfulness God intended. So when Jesus came, he didn't say, go and be fruitful. He said, abide in the vine and you will be fruitful. Abide in me. Live in me. Because all the fruitfulness will be in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, there's no fruitfulness. Are we there?
Yeah.
So, it's great that we can live in a kind of community lifestyle here. Not just those of us who live here, but those of us who work here every day. Encouraging one another with the truth. Now, I made it very clear, this is a holy thing and you do not joke about it. I mean, it is the greatest privilege on earth to live in Christ. So it's not something to joke about. But it's a wonderful truth to affirm and to keep affirming. So when you pray, you affirm it. I usually begin my prayer time with those words, abide in me and I in you. so that I know I'm praying from within the place of my abiding. I'm not praying to a God who is far off and distant, away in heaven somewhere. Amen? I mean, he is in heaven. But I am in him and he is in me. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, God's purpose also is not only that we should bear fruit, but that we should be transformed into his likeness. Yes. So we read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, this is from the truth. Now, the Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord God, and where his Spirit is present, people have been set free. So our faces are not covered or veiled, but we are all able to reflect the Lord's glory. We are all able to reflect the Lord's glory, right? The more that glory is revealed in us, the more like him we become. So this glory that comes from the Lord is continually increasing in our lives because the Spirit of glory lives in us. Right, now, who can understand that the more like Christ we become, the more fruitful we will be? Now, what he says, what he promises, is if you abide in me, I will abide in you. The sort of resting of faith, the resting of Christ in us, is related to how effectively or how far or how truly we abide in him. So what he is saying is this: if you live in me, I will live in you. And of course, when he spoke about this, he was giving them the promise of the Holy Spirit that was to come upon them to enable them to abide in him. So he's saying, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, and I will live in you by my Spirit, and I will transform you with ever increasing glory into the likeness of Jesus. Now, you can't produce the fruit. You can't transform yourself into the likeness of Jesus. The fruit comes from abiding in him, and the transformation into his likeness comes from the Spirit is in you, being in you. So to try to imitate Jesus, to copy Jesus, which is a favorite evangelical thing, is actually impossible. You can try to imitate Jesus, and I guarantee your failure. Only the Holy Spirit can reproduce the life of Jesus in you. But the more he reproduces the life of Jesus in you, the more you are transformed from glory to glory, the more fruitful you will be. Are we getting this? So this is why you need 20 seconds, not just 10 seconds. Come on. See, God's made it so easy. He says, well, all you need is 20 seconds every so often during the day. What are you doing in the 20 seconds? I am abiding in the vine now. The Spirit of glory is in me now. Now, let me tell you, if you affirm that, you're not going to do something that does not glorify the Lord. I mean, it probably doesn't even take 20 seconds. I am abiding in the vine now. I'm a branch in the vine now. I am living in Christ Jesus now. And the Holy Spirit is in me now. The Spirit of glory is in me now. I mean, you can, you know, vary the words so it doesn't just become a habit. But your heart is in it. Yeah. Now, according to God's word, as you do this and live in this, You will be fruitful and you will be transformed more into his likeness. Now, it seems to me that's much better than sort of having a course of lectures on how to be fruitful, which at the end of the day doesn't make you any more fruitful. Or having a course of lectures on how to be transformed into the life of Jesus, how he wants you to reflect the character and life of Jesus. When actually, the only way that can happen is by the Holy Spirit, by your dependence upon the Holy Spirit. So as you affirm these things, what are you doing? Well, you're depending, you're learning to depend upon your unity with Christ because you live in him. And you're learning to depend upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is in you. Now. You see, that's the key word, now. It doesn't become faith without the word now. I mean, you can say, I'm living in Christ Jesus. That is truth, but it's not faith unless you add the word now. Then it becomes a faith statement. See, you can know the Holy Spirit is in you now. Well, that's knowledge of the truth, but it's not faith. Faith says, well, the Spirit of God is in me now. Therefore, the Spirit is going to have an impact on what I do and say now. It's so simple. But even the simplest things have to be done. You see, I told some of you about the first part of this, abiding in Jesus on Friday. How have you done it since then? Well, probably that would bring a different answer from different people. Some of you would have done it more than others. Some of you would have encouraged others, spoken it to others. Some of you perhaps not so much. But like every aspect of the truth is only effective if you do it, not if you know it. You see, when the scripture says knowing the truth sets you free, that knowing, the word knowing there means knowing in experience, not knowing in head knowledge. Now, because of what you've been taught here, you all have had head knowledge that you live in Christ, that you have been placed in Christ Jesus. You've all got that. Well, now God wants to transfer the head knowledge into experience of actually living, resting, walking, abiding in him moment by moment. Now, this is the truth, you see. You are in him every single moment of the day. And his Spirit is in you every single moment of the day. There's not one moment. You don't take one breath without being in Christ and his Spirit in you. Those two things are true with every breath you take. Got nothing to do with feelings. Nothing to do with your circumstances. It's all to do with the fact that God has taken hold of your life, grafted you into the wounds of Jesus, and has placed the Holy Spirit in you. Now, the more you live in the revelation of those two truths, live in those truths, not just know them, but live in them, the more fruitful you will be. You know, I can praise God for these 50 years of ministry and all the fruit that there has been in that time. The fruit, you see, is not me. The fruit is what the Lord has done through the branch. So all the glory goes to him. But the reason why there has been all that fruitfulness by the grace of God is because I've lived continually with these two truths. which is why we teach them here again and again that you're in Christ and the Spirit is in you continuously, now, every breath, every moment. Now, last Wednesday morning, I led that time of prayer. And we really encountered the Lord, didn't we? Because it was just sort of leading you into where you live every day. You know, I said at the end of it, look, you can meet with God like this at any time of any day. It doesn't require somebody to lead you there, because Jesus has opened up the way. But you have to do it. Huh? Not just know that it's possible. You have to do it. And you see, if you do it, you will encounter him. And the more you encounter him, the more fruitful you will be. Why? Because that encounter is the result of our abiding. You see, it can't be difficult for me to meet with the Lord if I'm in him and he is in me. It cannot be difficult. It just cannot be difficult. He is not some far-off, distant, divine being. Prayer cannot be difficult if I know that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. See, this is where so often we look at various things as activities without seeing where those activities have got to come from. They've got to come out of our abiding in him and his abiding in us. That's why when I do the John lectures, I tell you that this statement, abide in me and I in you, is the climax of the whole of Jesus' teaching. Everything he's been doing for the 3.5 years with the disciples has been leading up to that moment when he makes that statement. Until the Last Supper, he could not have made the statement, because it would only be possible to be fulfilled through the cross, the resurrection, and the return of Jesus to heaven, so that the Spirit could be sent upon them. But that's the climax. Everything in the Gospels is leading up to that point where Jesus says, now continue to live in me and I in you. He that has been with you will be in you. So the whole outworking of the Christian life is dependent upon these two truths. And you know, the Lord said to me Wednesday morning, just lead people to the throne. Because it's easy to do that. If you're used to doing it yourself, you can lead others there very easily. And he just said to me, look, you know how to continually abide, but just tell people how to do it. Now, being told how to do it doesn't do it. Only doing what you're told will do it. But this is what God wants to create. This is the kind of ethos that is to be present in our lives personally and in our life corporately. And the whole thing, all of it, all that I've been saying, rests on the truth of what he has already done, not of anything that needs to happen. He has already put you into Christ, and you're affirming that's where you are now. He has already put his Spirit in you, and that's what you're affirming now. You're living in the good of what he has done. And Jesus says, if you do these two things, you will be fruitful and you will be transformed into his likeness. And because we're branches together in the vine, there will be unity and the world will know. We will impact the world around us. Mm-hmm. This is how it is. And if you replace what Jesus says with anything else, it's actually diverting yourself and others away from this truth. And it's suggesting that they will be able to be fruitful through their own endeavor rather than by resting in him. That they will somehow be transformed to be more like Jesus through what they do rather than by the activity of the Spirit in them. So the Father, the Lord, is watching over the vine, the vineyard, continuously, moment by moment. And he alone can cause you to be fruitful. He will water your life daily. He will guard you day and night. And if you look at the first verse of that chapter 27, it says there that he will also defeat Leviathan. Yes. And that same day he would defeat that strong spirit that comes against you, the gliding serpent, the coiling serpent. He will slay that monster so that you cannot be deceived. Yes. Hallelujah. See, in that day, he will do these two things. So it's as we abide in him, we're going to be kept from the power of the evil one because God is guarding us. And you see, no matter what the devil does, he can't get into Christ. And the Spirit of God will never get into the devil or Leviathan or any of his demonic powers. Are we there? Yes. So praise God. Just one more thing to say. Why? As this is so clearly God's word, why don't churches do this? Teach this, live this. Why do they try to be fruitful, try to be evangelistic, try to be more like Jesus? Well, basically, because they don't believe what Jesus says. Basically, they think they know better with their souls than the revelation of the truth through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. You know, little kids sometimes say, I wish I was grown up. They usually have the wrong motive for saying that. Because they usually mean, then I can do what I want to do and not be told what to do by others. But there is that desire. I mean, we've got our three-year-old grandchild now who keeps affirming that she's now a big girl. And you see, compared to what she was when she was two, she is a big girl, but who knows, the three-year-old is not really a very big girl. But there's this desire, you know, I don't want to be just a little child, I want to be a big girl, big boy, whatever. And you see, this is the point. You only become big through the process of growth. And what the churches are always trying to do is to get the fruit without the growth. But you see, the branches of the vine have to abide in order to produce the fruit. There's a growth process. Now, because this is a supernatural vine, it doesn't mean that there's the same kind of growth process that we have in the natural. You know, as you abide in the vine, God can produce fruit miraculously, very quickly. But he can only do it by abiding in the vine. And sometimes God does take us through seasons of pruning, because he says those seasons of pruning will make us more fruitful. And during the season of pruning, you don't see that much fruit. Because what God is doing is dealing with you. Why is he dealing with you? So that you will abide in him more fully. And his spirit will abide in you more fully than has been the case in the past. And that will make you more fruitful. He prunes the fruitful branches that they may be more fruitful still. Why? Because he cuts out the things that are inconsistent with abiding in him and he in you. And during that season, he teaches you how to abide more fully in him. So the result is more fruit. Yes. It's no use a farmer who owns an orchard or a vineyard, you know, in this country or in Europe, sort of going out into his vineyard in February and saying, oh, I wish there was fruit. Because if you look at a vine at this time of year, it looks nothing. It looks almost dead. And you wonder, is there any life in this thing? But you see, what the vine dresser, vine grower knows is that there is life there and the life is going to come forth. He's done the pruning. And there's going to be a harvest in due course. And you see, we want harvest, but we don't get harvest by trying to get a harvest, but only by abiding in him and he in us, allowing him to prune us, allowing them to be much fruit. It's God's way. Some of us in the second year, we were talking about the fivefold ministry yesterday as we were doing Ephesians. See, the problem with the fivefold ministry is every evangelist thinks everybody should be an evangelist. But actually, the scripture says, are all evangelists? And the question in the Greek, the way you ask the question, you know the answer is either yes or no. So you know the answer to that question is no. Are all evangelists? No. All are witnesses, but they're not all evangelists. But an evangelist thinks everybody should be an evangelist. Right? A pastor thinks everybody should be pastorally sensitive. A prophet wants everybody to learn to prophesy. A teacher thinks everybody should be well-versed in the word. All these things are to work together in unity, aren't they?
Yes.
But you see, we and the apostle wants everybody to be obedient. The obedience of faith. Paul says that's the apostolic anointing, is to lead people into the obedience of faith. Romans 1:5. Okay, now, All these are the various anointings that are worked together within the body. But you see, if you have an anointing, you can't make others do what you do with your anointing. Are you there? They're only going to do what they're capable of doing through their anointing. Through the anointing that God has put upon their lives. And that anointing goes with the call that God has for each of them. You breathing? So you see, it's not a question of trying to get everybody to do, but of teaching people to abide in Him, to affirm the Spirit is in them, and then the Spirit will work through them according to the will of God, according to the call of God, according to the anointing of God, and they will bear the fruit of the good works that God has prepared for them to walk in. Amen. Yes. Let's all stand. Are we going to affirm this then over our lives? Are we going to learn to affirm it to one another?
Yes.
Both these truths, on Friday I talked to you about, you know, abiding in Christ now, but we also need to do the other 10 seconds. And His Spirit, the Spirit of glory, is in me now. I like using that phrase, Spirit of glory. Just reminds you, okay, what God is going to do in this situation is to glorify Himself. You know, I can't glorify Him, but He's going to glorify Himself as I trust in Him. Okay, let's just focus on the Lord, praise Him. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Now, first of all, thank the Lord that He was wounded. He was wounded so you could be grafted in. Without those wounds, it would not have been possible. So in His love for you, He bore those wounds that you may be grafted into the vine. Now really thank Him for that. He was stripped. He was whipped. He was beaten. He had nails driven into Him. Also, you could be grafted into Him. And thank the Lord that He has taken hold of your life. The Father took hold of your life. He took hold of you and He grafted you into Jesus. He bound up that graft until it had taken. Hallelujah. So thank Him that the graft is now taken. That you are living in Christ Jesus. That you are a branch of the vine. By His act, through His mercy, through His grace, by what He has done, not by what you have done. It wasn't even your choice. It was His choice. He chose you. You did not choose Him. So just affirm it now. Hallelujah. And thank Him that because He's put you in Christ, you are in Christ Jesus today. And now move into that place of faith and say, I am in Christ Jesus now. I am a branch in the vine now. I am living in Christ now.
Now thank him that by remaining in the vine, you are going to be fruitful. That your fruitfulness will come not by what you do, except by abiding in the vine. The fruit will just automatically be produced in your life because you're abiding in Jesus. This is what he says. So don't think you know better. Oh, you're going to be active, all right, but the activity will come out of your abiding, out of your resting in him. That's why the rest of faith that Hebrews talks about, you rest from your own labors. So thank you, Lord, I rest from my own labors. I rest from my own works. They can't produce fruit. They can't produce anything. But it's only by abiding in the vine, by resting in the vine, by remaining in Jesus that I can be fruitful. And I thank you, Lord, I believe your word that by abiding in you, I will bear much fruit. I believe your word, Lord, that by living in you, I will bear much fruit. I won't even have to be concerned about the fruitfulness. It will happen because I'm living in you and I'm affirming my life in you every day. Now, 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 I'm living in Christ Jesus now. I am a branch in the vine now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank him that the Spirit of glory is in you now. Every moment of every day, you are in Christ. Every moment of every day, the Spirit of glory is in you. Thank him that he will be glorified as you trust in the Spirit of glory to work in you and through you. He will transform you into the likeness of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glorious Lord. So come and affirm it now. The Spirit of glory is in me now. Every moment of every day, the Spirit of glory is in me. The Holy Spirit of God is in me. Christ Jesus is in me. I am in him now. He is in me now. Praise you, Lord. I am never alone. I am never alone. Not for one moment am I ever alone. But every moment of every day, I am in you and you are in me. I praise you. I bless you. I thank you, Jesus. 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 Now, just agree with the Lord that at various moments during the day, you're going to stop for 20 seconds. It's all it takes. You can do it while you're walking along, do it while you're driving. You can do it before you make a decision, do it whenever you pray. But you're going to get used to doing it and just affirming, I am in Christ Jesus. Now, Christ Jesus is in me now. I am a branch in the vine now. The Spirit of glory is in me now. As I make this decision, I am in Christ Jesus now. And the Spirit of glory is in me now. As I witness to this person, I am in Christ Jesus now as I witness. And His Spirit of glory is in me now as I witness. So, you know, I want the Spirit to do it. I want Him to give me the words to speak. I don't want to try to do it myself. See, it's learning to depend upon Him, isn't it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Poratapakarazitoba. Hallelujah. Lord, this is so liberating. Thank you that you've made it so simple. Thank you, it's not complicated, it's not difficult. Thank you for the climax of Jesus' teaching where he gives this wonderful revelation that he that was with the disciples would be in them. And thank you, Lord, that you're not just with us, you're in us. And we are living in you. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, we can sing about a fruitful vineyard here. Thank you that you watch over it moment by moment. You water it continuously. Hallelujah. Thank you that you guard it by day and by night so that it cannot come to any harm. Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's agree together before the Lord. When you agree something before the Lord, that's a holy thing to do. You don't do that kind of thing lightly. But let's agree before the Lord that we will encourage and affirm one another in these truths, that we will speak these truths to one another. See, it only takes a moment, doesn't it? You are living in Christ today. You are a branch in the vine today. Much better than just saying, morning. Or how are you? No. Tell them how they are. They're abiding in the vine now. And the Spirit of glory is in them now. Amen. Come on, let's just affirm that we're going to encourage one another in this way. Because these are truths for every branch in the vine. These things are not more true for some branches than others. They're truth for every branch.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.